It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I am Dakota. I am joined Dakota Gardner.
You're doing the one name thing now.
I'm a mononym. Yeah, I'm like Bono. I'm joined, as always.
I was going to say you're like Cher, but okay.
No, I'm like Bono. Really, as always, I am joined by Gemma Kaneko.
Yes, I am here.
And that laugh you heard is our senior Reno baseball correspondent, Jessica Kleinschmidt. Jess, thank you for joining us once again on the Cut Forecast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate your presence. We have a lot to get to this week. I do say that every week. And I do mean it every week, but I extra mean it this week, like large and XL. This is an XL show. We have so much. Apparently, Friends, that's right, the television show from the 90s that you remember and love, is extremely popular in a sport. Which sport?
What could it be?
I wonder which sport that could be. We will also talk about the fashion trend that is sweeping the Citi Field clubhouse. We will get more specific with that. And we'll talk about a lovely friendship between two players. One in the NFL, one in MLB. Like Romeo and Juliet, they were star-crossed friends, but they still are friends despite the fact that they play in competing sports. And then we'll talk about some ghosts, naturally, even though Michael Clare is not on the podcast, and bring it home with a famous Yankee fan friend. That is a jam-packed show. I don't lie. Gemma, do I lie?
Well, not about this show. Where are my chocolate bars, Dakota?
Okay, so I do have chocolate bar.
She was way too ready for that answer. Well, I do finish the question.
My mom, so I went to visit my parents in Philadelphia this past weekend. My mom yelled at me and gave me the chocolate bar that I'm supposed to give to you, and it is currently in my refrigerator in my apartment.
I don't think that's even a little
it
true.
It will eventually come to the office.
I doubt it.
Will give it to you.
Mm-hmm. But when he buys a real one, because he ate the actual one, will get to the office.
There were two. I will put it that way. There were two. But let us move on here to the first thing that I think we need to discuss, and that is, of course, MLB player fun fact time with senior media guide reader correspondent Gemma Kaneko. Gemma, you have a fun fact for us this week from the 2017 Major League Baseball Media Guide.
I do, yeah. So I was looking at the Red Sox Media Guide. I was looking for some interesting facts that we might not know that we could highlight as postseason comes around. And this is what I found about everyone's favorite, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, he is everyone's favorite. That is
his full
honorific
name is Jackie Bradley Jr. Fun fact.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
It's Jackie Bradley Jr. He has a daughter named Emerson. Mm-hmm. Fun fact. The funnest of all the fun facts is he's a distant relative of Michael Jordan. Jordan's grandfather and Jackie's great-great-grandmother were siblings.
Now we know why Jackie Bradley Jr. is so good at baseball.
Right. All makes sense.
He's the child of a superstar. I did some research. Gemma told me this yesterday. She actually, she DM'd me in the evening yesterday with this fact, and I lost my mind. And I did some personal research into this, and I discovered this tweet from 2011.
Wow.
From Jackie Bradley Jr. Someone tweeted at him, "Who is the coolest person you have ever met?" And he retweeted it and said, "Michael Jordan. He Michael Jordan's grandfather at my family reunion. Yes, we are related." So pretty cool that this is like probably the greatest sporting family who's ever lived.
Who's ever lived?
I would say
greater than the Williams.
Greater than the Griffies.
Wow.
This is it. This is the greatest sporting family of all time.
Well, that is quite a
welcome to the grill.
Seriously,
has anybody ever seen JBJ play basketball?
I have not. Have you?
No, I mean, not this week. And it's funny, Dakota. You brought up the tweet, and I looked it up too, and it had one retweet and two likes. So you can tell, like, that was back in the day before, like, anybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
I was like, how did that only get like very little love? But yeah, I mean, it was. Like, I just tweeted about Michael Jordan being related to him, and it got zero love. So I mean, that's quite a tweet to have no attention around.
It's incredible. This is incredible.
This is incredible.
This is an incredible
fact. It is a really
good
fact.
You know why it might not have so much attention? Is because Boston sports fans, still scarred from the MJ experience.
Maybe.
I think it might be that, and they aren't ready to embrace it. But they should embrace it because this is a great sporting legacy.
We did want to do – so the reason I'm looking at so many media guys is because we're looking for fun, interesting ways to break down postseason rosters. And we could just do one that's all just players related to Michael Jordan.
We should do that. That was a nice peek behind the curtain of the Cut 4 content planning brought to you by Gemma Kaneko. Let us move on, however, from MLB player fun fact time with senior media guide reader Gemma Kaneko. Let us move on next. That's a segment. That's an official segment here on the Cup Forecast. Let us move on, because there was a story in the New York Times on Monday that blew my mind. I'm not sure if this blew everyone's mind. I think this is like the craziest thing of all time. But apparently, many Major League Baseball players who do not speak English as their first language use the television sitcom Friends to help them understand the colloquial nature of the English language. The most passionate fan of Friends is Wilmer Flores. This is what he told the Times. The basics you can learn in a classroom, but to speak the language, that comes from here in the clubhouse, on the street, or from television. And it's been his walk-up song, the Friends theme. He's like super amped about it. He even visited the old set in Burbank, California, where they filmed. He's been to Central Perk. Isn't that exciting? I think this is the coolest thing ever. Gemma, what do you think?
Well, I remember when we talked about Wilmer Flores learning English through watching Friends last year, when he started using it as his walk-up song. What I really like about the story is how it's extremely widespread.
Yeah,
for
it's
some
not just
reason.
Him. Yeah.
It's not just him, and it's specifically this TV show. It's not like this is the only American TV show to ever be exported anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Friends is the show. It's not Cheers. It's not Frasier. It's not Fresh Prince. It's Friends. I'm interested in what it is about Friends that's so compelling, because I personally do not really get Friends.
I was going to say, that's important context to this conversation, is that Gemma is not a fan of Friends. I am a super fan. Jess, are you a fan?
I'm a huge fan of Friends.
Okay.
And when I heard this story, I was wondering, like, you know, like, there are very few terms in other languages that I know. Like, I know how, you know, where's the bathroom? I need more beer. And that's pretty much all you really need to know in any other language. So I was curious about, like, what phrases, you know, do they know I'm on a break, or how to pronounce pivot really well? Or, like, what were the terms that they are just, like, constantly 100% confident in? And, like, who do they have a crush on? Were they a Rachel person? Do they love, like, Phoebe's quirks? You know, do they want to be BFFs with Chandler Bong? Like, that, those types of questions ran through my mind, because did they have, like, the same, you know, trivia that we did growing up and stuff like that? I thought it was brilliant, and I thought it was great. And, you know, obviously the theme song always gets stuck in your head. So I thought it was a really cool story.
Yes, this is going to become a Friends podcast. Sorry, Gemma, get out of here.
I'm not, like, when Gemma's leaving. I'm not a fan of Friends. I'm not, like, extremely opposed to Friends. I just didn't really ever watch it, and I have no interest in starting.
Gemma. How you doing?
I guess that's a Friends thing.
That was really bad.
You could have convinced me that it was really accurate, because I don't know.
Gemma, are you a Phoebe or are you a Monica?
Well, Phoebe, I know who plays these people, and I really like Lisa Kudrow, so I'm going to go with Phoebe.
I think that's a good choice. Okay. I think that's a good choice.
I see. You're very Phoebe, yeah.
Jess, okay, Jess, cool. are you a Rachel, a Phoebe, or a Monica?
I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of, like, weird and out there, like, in Phoebe ways. But, I mean, but you can't be conceited enough to call yourself, like, I think I'm, like, Jennifer Aniston. Like, who really has the balls to say that? Like, come on. Yeah. But I think I'm a little bit more Phoebe than anybody. And a little bit of Joey when he's eating.
What are you?
Gemma, Gemma,
I know.
What, I want to hear your take.
It would be better if I didn't. Like, it is obviously seeped into our cultural consciousness enough.
Are you Kramer? Is that you?
I should have gone in that direction.
You're so Dennis Reynolds.
You're Kramer.
I do know what the characters on Friends are, unfortunately. But unfortunately for this bit, I wish I could just make up a bunch of names that I thought were friends. Like, I don't know, Chad, Steve,
you're definitely a Chad.
Travis, and
I'm
Kevin.
I'm such a Chad. I know, it's true. People have told me that my whole life. I'm such a Chad.
As long as you're not a Gunther, I think you can kind
How
of
How is there not a character on Friends named Chad?
That is a good question. That is a very good question.
It was probably a boyfriend, you know, here or there named Chad that I can... but not off the top of my head.
We need to ask all these players which yes. ones they are.
Yes.
I think they need.
We should just make a quiz on our site only for which MLB friend? Players. It's not for, it's like, do not take if you are not a Major League Baseball player.
We should have that. Right. Yeah. We really do need to have that. And if you're curious, I, like every other 13-year-old boy, thought I was Chandler. Let us move on to our next topic. This one, I'm glad, Jess, I'm glad we have you on, because I think you may have some very strong opinions about this, which is why I wanted mm-hmm. to talk about it. I definitely do. Gemma, I think, definitely does as well. The Mets flew to Atlanta for on Thursday night of last week, and a photo went viral of the Mets in a themed outfit, a total, like the Cubs-themed road trips, mm-hmm. and it was all of them wearing romp hims. That's right, the male romper.
It's just a romper. No matter who is wearing it, it's a romper.
So, Jess, I want to start with you. Do you have takes on the romper-themed road trip and just more broadly the romper trend? And which Met maybe looked the best in his romper?
So rompers scare the crap out of me because I got stuck in one. I had to call the lady who was work. I think I was at TJ Maxx or something. I don't remember. I got stuck in it, and my best friend Courtney was there, and it was this thing. I was stuck in one. It was just the way that it was holding on to me and an awkward thing, because not everybody can pull off rompers the way that it hugs you and stuff like that. And they all seem to pull it off beautifully, which really upset me, because like I said, I got caught in one, and I from then on could never wear a romper because it didn't look good on me. And so I like the idea of rompers if you can pull them off, but it doesn't always work that way. So I like the trend of it, but I think it's kind of dying out. They have the jumpsuit that's kind of coming back, but that's more of just a romper with pants, which is basically what it is. But I don't really know who looked the best in it, because I feel like they all kind of looked the same, and they all pulled it off and didn't have to worry about their hips or anything like that. They just pulled it off beautifully, and I was very bitter about that. So that's why the whole situation kind of annoyed me. Dang, they all look really good.
They did all look good. It was kind of shocking that it's a very strong fashion statement that every member of the Mets seemed to pull off pretty well. I thought Syndergaard particularly.
Who's idea was that? Bro, let's put them in rompers. What do you think? sat there thinking about that.
I need to know whose idea this was. That is really the truth. Because I feel like did one guy
Sandy
was
Sandy Alderson.
He's like, I want to wear a romper. So.
Yeah, who thinks about rompers that much to know that even what a romper is? It's weird.
Yeah.
What's weird to me is that they clearly got all of the rompers from the same manufacturer.
Yeah, there's
which
only
is
four colors.
Crazy,
yeah.
Because rompers are a trend. Despite whatever story there is about romp hims, you have always been able to get rompers for men. That's been a thing. You can get them in men's sizes. It's not a crazy
but
new
it,
adventure.
It never had a name that made me feel comfortable with my own masculinity. Until the romp him came around.
Don't make me make the jog hims joke on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But you should go see this photo. This is on MLB.com/cut4. And it really does need to be seen to be believed, just simply to see so many rompers pulled off well.
Truly,
in
a
one
lot
place.
Of these guys do look really good. And I have to say, I admire guys who went with prints. Like bold, like Matt Harvey just went with a full nightclub in Havana in the 60s print. Mm-hmm. Okay, buddy, that is, you are wearing wallpaper, but somehow it looks okay. You did a good job.
How some of them are posing with their hands in the pockets, look at this romper, look at this thing. I love it.
I just feel they need to they still need more variety in the romper situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. I hope to see them circle back in the rotation of clothing for these people. I know they all bought them for the themed road trip, but I hope a couple of the Mets were like, you know what? I pulled this off. I look pretty good. I'm going to just start wearing this to the ballpark in on normal game days.
Truly, some of these dudes do look really good. Some of them do look like they're wearing scrubs, which is just...
Well, I think that's more about the romp him than
it's more
it
about
is
the,
about...
It's more about the color choice, I think, that they made. The solid colors kind of are a little scrubs.
But scrubs are very comfortable.
Why don't people watch scrubs to learn English?
It's a good question.
Because we don't want no scrubs.
That's what. That must be it. Okay. Let us move on from Cut 4 Fashion Hour to our next story, which I think is a very, 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 very cool story. Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford and
I don't think he even needs an introduction. Clayton Kershaw, Dodgers superstar. Our old-time friends, they grew up together. They both graduated from Highland Park High School in Texas. They both wound up being first-round draft picks and are both professional athletes. Like, it's this really cool thing. One in football, one in baseball. But in the third quarter of the Lions' Monday night football game against the Giants, you could hear Matthew Stafford call an audible at the line of scrimmage, and he said, quote, "Hey, give me Kershaw here. Kershaw." That's cool. That is extremely cool. I think it's really cool that we have an audible themed after arguably the greatest pitcher in Major League Baseball. Gemma,
right.
What do you think?
I mean, great. great for my hometown team, the Lions.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Shout out to you.
I mean, and the Lions won that game. So obviously it's because
not a coincidence.
The word Kershaw was spoken during it. Like, that's clearly the reason. That's what it is. So
all the teams in the NFL need to start doing it, and then they'll all win.
Well, yes. Well,
this
what
is
I,
like the well, inefficiency.
Then they'll just be all evened out. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, everybody.
Which is what I like about this is that it gives me, ostensibly a Lions fan, despite the fact that I don't really watch a lot of football, the chance to also root for Clayton Kershaw in that sport as
that's
well.
True.
So that is fun because he does not play for my favorite baseball team, but now he kind of is in my sports fandom, so I like that.
He would be a very good quarterback, too.
Probably.
Oh, for sure.
He could throw that football a mile. He could toss the old pigskin. I clearly know a lot about football. Jess, what did you think about this? Or how excited are you that there are these two longtime friends in opposite warring families, MLB and NFL?
I love the storyline just itself. I think it's awesome, and they love talking about each other too. And because they get asked about each other quite a bit, but you can tell like it's not like a redundant question. They're actually really excited to talk about each other and support each other, which is wonderful. Could you imagine like being that close to somebody who has just as much of success as you, who understands what you're going through and everything like that? And then what an honor to have a play named after you. That's awesome. I mean, I've never had a child named after me, but I feel like that's kind of the equivalent of it. I would assume.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same
what
thing.
What can Kershaw name after Stafford? Is there anything that
should name
is equivalent?
A pitch. You should name a pitch after Stafford.
Ooh, invent the new pitch. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Or even like he could just be like, yeah, my curveball, it's now called the Stafford.
Yeah.
Because you never know where he's going to throw.
I'd settle for like a sandwich. But, like I named a play after you. Well, this is the Stafford sandwich that you can get at the local bar down the street from Vince Scully. You know, like, I would settle for that. So, I mean, what can you really compare with that?
Not even at the stadium.
Just
at the
down
bar,
the street.
Bar, down the street.
You don't even get
or
a Dodger dog.
The one that his wife makes him, or the one that he makes himself. This is called the Stafford.
I bet he does have some kind of weird routine food that he eats, and he should totally name it after Matt Stafford.
He actually does. He has a turkey sandwich.
There you go.
Right before a game. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's a good thing to name after Matt Stafford, too.
It's also like a
turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to eat before a game. Like, I want a turkey sandwich. Maybe Clayton can make me one. But before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the StatCast podcast, a show dedicated to the analytics that drive front office decisions in the modern game. It's hosted by our good friends, Mike Petriello and Matt Myers. Mike Petriello, by the way, who you can see in forthcoming Cespedes Family Barbecue content. Keep
yes.
an eye out for that. For that,
both eyes.
Thrilling.
You need to.
Cameo.
You're gonna need to watch out.
You will need to watch out, and he won't have the eyes. He needs your vision in those videos. But last week, Mike and Matt introduced a brand new StatCast metric called Outs Above Average. This is the coolest thing. You need to go listen to it because this blew my mind. This is one of the StatCast podcasts regularly will blow your mind, and might. Matt Myers and Mike Petriello are both really great at explaining these concepts, but basically outs above average is one simple number that will tell you how good an outfielder is at catching fly balls, and it factors in all the variables. This is the coolest thing ever. You should go download the show from Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts by searching for StatCast Podcast or by going to StatCastPodcast.com. Do it. They're both awesome. The show is awesome. And this new stat might change the way you think about baseball. Gem, I know it changed yours.
Certainly.
It did. It definitely did. But let us move on and let us talk about Jared Saltalamacchia. We don't have Michael Clare on the podcast this week. We don't have the senior Cut 4 ghost correspondent with us. But he is here in spirit.
Oh. Or should I say, ooh.
Ooh. When the Rays and Red Sox played on Saturday, Saul Tolomaki was in the booth, and he told a terrifying story from a hotel he stayed at back in 2011. Jess actually wrote this story on our website. Jess, why don't you give us the Cliff's Notes of the story?
So the story itself, first of all, I was working with Claire at the time. So you want to talk about, I was just more excited to write about this after seeing Claire's reaction. I was like, oh, I have to make this the best cut. Honestly, one of my favorite cut fours I've ever written, just because Claire's, you know, reaction itself. So the best part was the fact that he was, when Salty told this story, he was kind of messing with the on-field reporter who was staying at this haunted hotel in which the story took place. Now, Salty's a journeyman. He's been on pretty much every team in Major League Baseball. And he talked about when he was staying at this hotel previously, and he heard this weird story on the seventh floor about a child and his dad who wears a top hat. And so he heard about the story, and it kind of spooked him, but, you know, he's a big, bad baseball player. Nothing scares him. So he actually, you know, was woken up from like a deep sleep and heard the door open, and he thought it was weird because, you know, he thought he locked the door, and he looks up and the door's open. So I guess he closed it and goes back to sleep, even though he didn't think it was that weird. And then he heard another noise, and whether that means somebody was shuffling around, I'm not 100% sure, but he woke up and he saw an apparition of this child and his apparent father with the top hat on. So he actually saw this spirit. And like I mentioned, he was messing with the field reporter who was staying on the seventh floor. And, you know, he heard the story. So the field reporter was freaking out. He's like, I don't want to go back to this hotel. Like, heck no. So it was just like the whole thing was just really, really cool. And, you know, even though if you're not a believer, he was a really beautiful storyteller. I was actually very impressed because I wasn't like 100% watching the game, but I heard it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, wow, okay, like that's actually quite interesting. So I immediately went to Slack, was like, Claire, there's a ghost story, and everything just stopped. He's like, where, tell me everything. And so we requested, it was like, it was a really cool story, and I'm glad, you know, and Salty, you know, told it beautifully. And it was quite freaky too, just the way that you see somebody like Jared Saltzlamakia, who's like a big bad guy, and he even said like it was kind of scary. So it was a really interesting story.
He is a really good storyteller. I will say I am very much here and surprised by broadcaster Salty. He's been in the booth a few times this year, and it's been really good. And I was not expecting him to be so good at it. This story is like it's freaky, and he clearly believes it. Jess, are you a believer in ghosts?
I am, and I believe, and I've not to an extensive point where I've 100% seen them, but I've had weird things happen to me. Me, Gemma, and Claire had like a discussion about it recently. But and I also believe in people who 100% believe in them, and so that's kind of where I'm at.
Interesting.
Well, I thought that was so interesting about the extended cut of Salty talking about this and kind of messing with the field reporter, is that the field reporter's like, oh, I'm scared. Like, I grew up on Poltergeist. I don't need to see ghosts. Like, I don't need anyone to find me. And Salty was like, no, ghosts aren't here to hurt you. Ghosts are just passing through this world, and they're just around us all
the
time.
He's going to be the next ghost hunter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But he had like a very gentle belief in how spirits are not malicious, and he really clearly, obviously 100% believed this, and was just trying to be like, no, man, it's the way of the world. It's like energy. It's the world. And that was really fascinating. And he kept trying to like, because it was kind of funny, but he was also genuinely trying to talk down the field reporter from being afraid of ghosts. And I was watching this earlier today, and he says this thing when he's talking to Dave O'Brien. He says like, oh, well, my mom and I like going to cemeteries and just like finding out about things.
First of all, I think Salty is a writer for Cut 4. He just doesn't know it yet. Secondly, I think we need to relaunch another reboot of the Ghostbusters, this time with John Gray, Rockies pitcher, Jared Saltzlamaki, and Michael Clare. We need a fourth.
And Jess.
I think Claire is Salty. I think they're the same person.
That might be the case. Claire does. Actually, that's a good. This is a good. I might truth or this.
I've never seen them in the same place at the same time.
Claire wants to be a catcher. That's one of his favorite things. He likes pudgy first basemen and catchers. That's like his thing. They both believe in ghosts. The whole thing about not being terrified of them is very Claire. Going and visiting cemeteries is
with his mom.
Historical aspect, yeah.
Very Claire. I think this is like, I might truth or this.
Okay, except for the fact is that Claire does really like to make fun of you and the Red Sox. So how does
it's
that?
It's a cover.
I mean,
it's a
2013
cover.
Salty on the Red Sox?
Well, yeah, I can tell you a horror story. And it involves a certain throw that a certain catcher made in a game. And that's okay. That is irrelevant, however. But I am excited that we actually got this really cool story in the middle of the game. And like, I know that there's this thing among fans where you're watching your baseball broadcast and you're like, you know what? I want to see the action on the field. Like sometimes these guys go off on long tangents about the Broadway shows they're seeing or the great restaurants that are in the
Are you talking about our podcast?
Yeah. Maybe. And you know, I think that like, yes, I get that. But also like there is the opportunity for really cool storytelling, and that's what we all loved about Vin Scully when he was a broadcaster, and I think that's what we like about this. And so I think more storytelling of this caliber and of this depth and of this sort of passion is something that I hope to see in more broadcasts in the future. I think maybe the next generation of broadcasters coming through might take from Salty's example.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested because after in our ghost chat that we had after that part of the broadcast, me, Claire, and Jess, we were talking
I'm sad I wasn't invited.
Yeah, I mean, it was just in Slack. You could have come.
That's insufferable, and you know it.
Well, we were talking about how this is a hotel that other players have seen ghosts at, or they're more famous ghost hotels in baseball.
Yes.
But I would be interested in other players and other broadcasters being like, I have stayed there. Like, here's my story. And we could kind of combine all of those things. That would be really... would be fun.
I would be interested in that too.
Yes.
Interesting.
Curious.
We should track some down.
But let us move on here to the last thing that we're going to talk about today, which is also the thing I care the most about. And probably this is in the running for my favorite baseball thing of the entire season. So be prepared. Earlier this week, with the Tampa area still recovering from Hurricane Irma, which, by the way, we should put out there that our thoughts are with them, and you know, my family is my parents are down in that area, and so all donations and such to the victims of that and the survivors of that. So it was really devastating to see all of the damage there. But it led the Yankees and the Rays to play a series at Citi Field. And in Monday's game, Todd Frazier hit a 3-run home run to left field. And as he was running around the bases, one fan particularly did not enjoy the home run. And he stood and simply gave a thumbs down to the play. This fan, for some reason, became just the most iconic baseball fan of the year. The New York Daily News tracked him down. His name is Gary Dunier. He's 54 years old, and he is a Mets fan, which is why he was giving the thumbs down. They talked to him and he said, quote, "So just spur of the moment, I came up with the idea of just standing up and making the thumbs down gesture. A simple little thumbs down, all of a sudden it's become so popular. It's like a meme. The Yankees have embraced this. They have custom shirts they're wearing with the thumbs down. They're photobombing each other's interviews with the thumbs down. This has taken the New York metropolitan area by storm. My theory is that it's because this guy looks like famed fantasy writer George R.R. Martin, but there could be many other reasons why. Who is also, I believe, a Mets fan. But
oh, true, yeah.
I love this just because of just the simple, just still thumbs down. He doesn't shout. He doesn't get crazy. He doesn't do the stuff that you might see in other fan. No, just a simple thumbs down. Gemma, what did you think?
I agree. I love this. I think the reason it's so great is because his facial expression is completely stoic. He's got these big glasses and the suspenders, and he's just like, he just, it's like a guy who's saying, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And that is so unusual for that crispness of expression, because usually fans who react like really, there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. There's facial expressions. There's yelling, whatever. No, this is plain. It's easy to read. It's extremely simple. It's just, it conveys his feelings so clearly without having to resort to additional bells and whistles. I think that's why it's so memeable. It's just like, nope, nope, no to all of this. Just nope. Dakota's making the face at me, which you can't see because this is a podcast.
It is. This is radio.
It was very good. I should have taken a picture and tweeted it.
Please don't. Jess, I want to hear what you think about thumbs down Mets fan.
I appreciate his, you know, confidence, because he just stands up there. You can see all the Yankees fans behind him, like, sitting down. He's like, no, I'm going to stand here with my thumb down because I am a hardcore fan. And, yeah, it's like an awkward – you know, it's awkward, but it's like a beautiful meme. The moment it happened, like, this is literally going to go viral. And it did. And, you know, they're talking about it everywhere. And to get Todd Frazier and Aaron Judge and the entire Yankees team to react to you, that's kind of a brilliant move. So I think it's wonderful.
I think it's wonderful, true, too. I like, true, that the Yankees are embracing this.
Yeah.
This is the most likable Yankees team of my lifetime.
They are.
It Hands really down. It's really true.
And this is a likable thing. They're great, and more power to them, because this is, I think they're going to make some noise here in the postseason. It's
gonna
be really
absolutely
great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I especially just with the
thumbs down guys there.
Also, is there
they
a more
invite him.
Is there a more representative gesture for the, well, yes, but is there a more G-rated representative gesture for the New York City area than the thumbs down? No, there is not. And so I'm glad that the Yankees have embraced it.
I feel like we should just
identity.
Give that guy a column. We should just be like, yeah, how did you feel this week about what happened in baseball?
We should give him
thumbs
a column
down.
And it'll be really long and take 12 years to write, and there'll be like, right, 15 different character arcs intertwining, uh-huh, once again. If you, I just started watching,
yeah,
Game
Dakota
of Thrones.
Yeah, Dakota just got into Game of Thrones, which is insane.
I did. And I'm excited because I feel a part of the culture.
Just as it's ending, you're just missing.
I don't
missing
care.
The...
I get all the
I
jokes
I haven't
now.
Even started it yet.
You should. Trust. Let me tell you why you should. If this isn't just a jest. This is to you, too, if you haven't listened or if you haven't watched the show. The whole internet will make 80% more sense to you after
okay,
you watch
sense.
This show.
I'll see some tweets like from MLB or even Cut 4. I'm like, I don't understand. Or even when I get like a GOT article, I'll have to ask, be like, Mono, what does this mean? Like, he's like, this is how it works. I'm like, okay. So it's good.
The whole thing. It's like there are phrases that I didn't realize were from that show. It's like it's freaky. This whole thing has been very weird, and
well,
it's been quite something.
Welcome to the discourse, Dakota. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It is now time to summarize the podcast in 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Now, last week we asked for some of your best baseball fan fiction. We did get some.
Yes.
We did. I'm going to give a special shout out here to friend of the Cut 4 cast, Tyler Molina at Tyler Juan Carlos, who wrote many, many, many tweets of baseball fan fiction. I think this one, however, was really micro-targeted to us. The Twins face the Dodgers in the World Series. Bartolo, with 3 complete game shutouts in games 1, 4, and 7, throws 190 pitches with 3 strikeouts total, presumably in game 7. And he's the World Series MVP.
This is the greatest piece of fanfic I've ever read in my life.
I know, right?
Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There was a whole series of these. You should go check out his feed because they were very funny. But
I
if
love
you,
it so much.
And we should extend this really through to the postseason. Yeah. So if you have more baseball fan fiction, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We'll read some of the best ones here on the show because baseball needs more fan fiction. That's my belief.
Well, you said it, and now if whatever is creates, it's on you.
Okay, that's true. That's true. We won't read all the fan fiction on the Cut 4 cast. Gemma, because you're sitting next to me, and you said some mean things about me on this podcast,
sorry,
like about chocolate, why don't you give us your tweet first?
Okay, my tweet will be, it'll be, hey, hashtag Cut4Cast listeners, how do you feel about Dakota's promise that he's going to give me chocolate and then just a gif of the thumbs down Mets fan?
No one likes you. No one likes you. Jess, you're blocked. Jess, give me your tweet. What do you
Fair
got?
Enough.
Okay, so I'm going to steal Gemma's idea with the thumbs down Mets fan gif. Like, I have to keep that forever. Is it GIF or GIF? I don't think I ever know.
Oh,
you
GIF?
Pick.
I'm GIF.
I'm a GIF person, too.
Yeah,
I feel
see,
very strongly.
And I remind myself it's GIF, but I'll say GIF. I don't know. It might be obsession with peanut butter. Who knows? Okay, so thumbs down to the Mets fan. No thumbs down to Gemma and Dakota. I might be scared of a lot of things, but I ain't scared of no ghosts.
Oh, good tweet.
That was a really good tweet.
Yeah.
That flip. At the end.
You're also the best of us at Twitter,
oh, absolutely,
generally, more
absolutely
broadly,
true,
so it should not be a surprise that you're the
yes
best at summarizing the podcast in 140 characters. Okay, I suppose it's now my turn.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see here.
Great. This is already off.
Okay, here it is. Okay, here it is. Here's the tweet. Here's the tweet. I was trying to think of how the lyric
you're
goes.
Trying to you're trying to just, no. just like, it abstractly never tweet. Hashtag never tweet.
I was trying to just phase out of existence before I had to write the tweet. No. Okay. What is the song? Okay. I think it's Somebody
song?
Told You Life Was Gonna Be This Way, or Nobody Told You Life Was Gonna Be This Way. The theme.
I don't watch Friends.
Colon. Colon. But, comma, Michael Jordan did, and then it's the picture of him throwing out the first pitch at Comiskey Park in like 1994, 1995. He's wearing like a denim, all denim shirt and pants. Only photoshopped onto it is a romp him.
Oh, wow. Oh. Wow. This weird punctuation choices aside, I would probably retweet that.
Depending on the version of the tweet that actually went out, because there was not really a whole lot of clarity there, that would be my tweet. But you probably have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk than any of us do. Maybe not Jess, but more than Gemma and myself. Please tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. All the articles that we discussed today and many, 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 many more can be found at MLB.com/Cut4. That's all the stuff that you know and love from Major League Baseball day in and day out. If you go to Facebook.com/Cut4, you can like our page. Our content will invade your news feed at its own whims, and it will be really magical. You'll log on to Facebook and you'll just see a stream of delightful baseball stories. Isn't that that's how everyone wants to interact with the internet? You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can also send us emails, cut4cast@mlb.com, cut4cast@mlb.com. questions, comments, concerns, life quandaries, moral judgments that you are find yourself being like, well, what should I do in this highly, maybe you're trying to decide which team to play in your baseball video game, and you don't know whether you want to be your team or a different team, so that you sort of reverse jinx yourself. I don't know. I have no idea. Email us, cut4cast@mlb.com. we can figure it out together. This is a podcast. You should go to Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get to our podcast and subscribe to this podcast. While you're there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. You can actually take time to type out a review. Please go ahead and do that. It helps other people find the show. Jess, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
It is always lovely to have you here. Gemma, I guess it's okay that you're here.
Well, that was a really warm and kind endorsement, so I'll take it.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.